This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk on Devil Radio 92.7. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci. Educated educators talking education.
Oh, it is that time again, Tuesday night, Educated Educators Talking Education. I am Dr. Tim Slecker. Dr. Johnny Lupinacci should be joining us shortly. I think he might be stuck in traffic. However, not to worry. I handled it last week all on my own, Evan and I together. Again, thanks for that, Evan, last week. What a cool show. We'll have another one of those Take Tim On episodes in the future. Tonight, though, the president better of Trinity Washington University, Patricia McGuire, joins Busted Pencil. And as she told me before the show, Pat, how are you doing?
Oh, Tim, I'm great. It is so much fun to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, I knew when I was contacting you for the show, a president, I know that there are 350,000 emails a day that you're probably getting. And so putting the advance invitation back in March when you wrote this piece, Let's Cancel Culture in Inside Higher Ed, I was like, okay, if Pat can come on, I'm going to let her come on, whatever it makes sense for her. So, Pat, thank you. Thanks for giving the audience the opportunity to hear from a president of a university on, I think this is one of the topics that continues to be, maybe overlooked is, and we can have this discussion, but when we talk about higher ed, and I loved your piece when you put this forward as leaders have this responsibility to talk about this moment in cancel culture. So let's just start, though, first, Pat, when you define cancel culture, how do you define cancel culture?
Well, I see the phrase cancel culture as a phenomenon that's really coming from the conservative right in many ways. It's the modern version of political correctness, if you will, but spruced up for the modern age. And it really started with people complaining that college campuses were not inviting conservative speakers, or if conservatives were invited, they were shouted down. And then, of course, this moved into the larger culture. And during the Trump years, anytime someone would question or not want to run a piece by somebody that was, you know, really sort of crazy conspiracy theories or far right, incendiary, you know, inciting racial tension and so forth, people would say, well, that's cancel. It's cancel culture. And then more recently, there was a very long piece in the New York Times and another piece in the Atlantic magazine. It's migrated now to the academy with not conservative students, but somewhat mainstream students, but I think somewhat pampered students complaining that they're victims of cancel culture because if they say something and other people dislike or criticize that, that they're being canceled. And so this has gone from being kind of a right-wing complaint to being a central complaint of some students in some very elite institutions. And my response to that is crazy. I mean, people saying I disagree with you is part of life, but somehow they're feeling they're part of cancel culture now.
Okay, so yeah, let's separate this out, because as we said, I think there are a lot of people now who have a weighing in of some sense of always quickly saying when somebody disagrees with you, hey, you're trying to cancel me. Yeah. And you know, let's be a little, you know, more grown up here and go, it's okay for me to potentially even slightly say something offensive. And Pat, you can say, hey, that offends me. And I'm not going to say, hey, Pat, stop canceling me.
Right.
I should engage with you and say, hey, Pat, I'm sorry I might have offended you. Let me explain for a moment what I was really talking about. Yeah. And you come back at me And if we both agree that we disagree, we're okay, but we haven't canceled each other.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. I mean, argumentation is the stuff of life. It's the stuff of the academy. It's what politics should do in the best sense all the time. We cannot grow and develop and really be creative if we don't have conflict and a clash of ideas. But somehow the clash of ideas has been distorted into this, you said a mean thing to me, you're trying to cancel me. And you know, my comment to a college student is, well, first of all, peer pressure has always been around. I mean, it was called mean girls in my day. You know, you walk in with the wrong outfit and they look at you nasty and you want to go home and cry. Well, in college, you know, you say something in a classroom that other people don't like and they disagree with you, or they give you the, you know, students love that side eye look. Well, I mean, grow up. That just goes on in life. And I think the academy is coddling students too much around those things and saying, you know, pull up your socks. Let's get on with it.
But and so this is why I like where you went in this piece, because you help us recognize that there might be, and not even might be, that there is on, and whether it's the left or whether it's the academy, this canceling sometimes can be overstated. However, you don't minimize the reality, though, of what is happening, particularly from the right. So while the left in college campuses might be, quote, coddling or handholding or making sure that everybody doesn't get upset, when the fact is that education sometimes is quite upsetting. And in fact, a good education might upset you quite a bit. But and we should be conscious of that, and we should do our best to say, hey, look, that's not canceling. That's just you learning to maybe learn. Okay.
Yeah.
But make no mistake, though, you're very clear in your piece, though, that there is an attempt to not just cancel, but to really make people stop talking about truth.
Right. Right. And this is the problem right now in the political culture. So this is where I say some right-wing activists and provocateurs use the phrase cancel culture when in fact they're practicing it themselves. And we need to be calling them out. So, I mean, I use the example of in the state of Virginia, now the governor is issuing executive orders that we shall not teach, quote, divisive concepts in class. In the state of Texas, you have the same thing. You can't teach anything that makes a student feel uncomfortable. And the state of Florida just this week took it so far. Governor DeSantis signed the order that you can't teach these 40 math books. Let's get rid of the math books because they claim there's something in them about critical race theory, which is the most harebrained thing I've ever heard. Math is math. Math makes a lot of people uncomfortable.
I was going to say, I've been very upset during my time learning math during the years, and I never once had the ability to say, hey, I'm offended.
Yeah.
Because I was offended regularly in algebra class.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people have that. Everybody, if you're a good learner, you're going to struggle with concepts and ideas. Now, on the political front, that, of course, gets into issues of discussions of race, discussions of sexual orientation, discussions of things like abortion rights and so forth. But that's all part of the culture. I mean, people are discussing those issues every day, whether it's in the supermarket line or at home around the dinner table or at the barbershop or wherever they are. They're also discussing it on social media, which is the other piece that inflames some of this as well. The academy cannot say, ooh, we're not going to have that discussion, or we're not going to invite that speaker who's going to upset people. In fact, what the academy should be rising up right now and saying that Texas, Virginia, Florida, you have it all wrong about a free society and the need for the free flow of conversation, and let the chips fall where they may. If I say something that offends you, well, you can tell me that, but I'm glad that what I said was important enough that you disagree with me. Let's have that disagreement without our feelings getting hurt so often.
Yeah. And my feelings bruise so easily, like you said, particularly in mathematics, which a quick aside, did you see in the McSweeney's piece That came out yesterday, some of the math content that was found objectionable. Now, again, satire alert for people who are just jumping in, and I don't want to offend you, but yeah, McSweeney's kind of found some of the problematic things in the Florida math books. One of them would be, quote, multiplication, because in Florida, we believe only certain numbers should be allowed to multiply with one another. They don't like polygons because they reject the notion that anything could have more than one side. The number zero, all numbers are either positive or negative. That's just basic math. So,
I heard that they were concerned that it was Arabic numbers. So there you go.
I put that out on Twitter last night, and a bunch of friends were like, how did they miss the Arabic numbers? One is not being offensive. Oh, it is. But yeah, so, you know, but again, we're talking about the academy higher education. And we said sometimes, though, we are quickly blamed as being the cancelers, the cancel culture, the academy, the left, because of, you know, we try to shut things down that are sometimes offensive. And as you say, the right quickly will come out and say that you're canceling a so-called conservative speaker for coming to your campus, Pat. And maybe we can talk about that as we're, you know, coming up on the first break. And, you know, is there a concern on the right that's legitimate about us in the academy? And I'll put us in there because that is what I also do to pay the bills. Yeah. But us in the academy, are we potentially canceling or engaging in some form of saying we don't want these people coming to our campuses? And if so, should we talk about that in a way that hopefully can have more people understanding that we might bring people to campus who you might not disagree with, but that doesn't mean that we're necessarily saying that what they're saying is truth. Mm-hmm. But to break though apart and say, is there a moment in time though when there are certain things that cancel is even the wrong word, is being censored, is being shut out, is being delegitimized to even talk about. So the idea, like you said, in Virginia, the 1619 Project, or the concept of, quote, divisive concepts. We have divisive concepts. Well, when we get back, more Busted Pencils, Dr. Pat McGuire from Trinity Washington University, Busted Pencils, fully leaded, back after the break.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Banned?
Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here. But Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is Busted Pencils fully leaded education talk. The anxiety-provoking educators who talk education, who are educated. That's the way we say it. Educated educators talking education. Our guest tonight, the president of Trinity Washington University, Pat McGuire. Cancel culture. Check out her piece in Inside Higher Education. Let's cancel culture. Pat, we talked a little bit about the fact that maybe the left and the academy has a little bit of ownership in the cancel realm to talk about how we might be better at that. But let's not get into a both sides-ism here. Mm-hmm. Because what you are really talking about in this piece, and I said this during the break, you know what? Hardcore authoritarian fascism, exclusion of the truth. Yeah, we're not going to put up with that.
Right.
In fact, let's be honest. Let's be right here, right now on Busted Pencils. Right. That's not cancel culture. That's fascism.
Well, that's absolutely correct. When somebody says that you can't have the 1619 Project book in your library, or somebody says you can have Nicole Hannah-Jones speak on your campus, or you know that you you have to take these textbooks, math textbooks, out of the curriculum. My God, that is not cancel culture. That is authoritarianism run rampant. It is outright censorship, which is such a fundamentally corrosive condition in any free society. You know, where it all gets bollocksed up, I've long said that liberals, Democrats and liberals, and sometimes they're the same or not, don't know how to fight back very strong. I mean, they're just, we tend to be wimpish sometimes. So, for example, if I decide that I do not want to invite, let's say, Stephen Miller, who was the architect of the terrible immigration policies of the Trump administration, if I decide I have no interest in inviting Stephen Miller to talk on my campus because 10% of my students are undocumented, we have a huge immigrant population here, somebody might accuse me of cancel culture for not inviting a provocative right winger who, frankly, never told the truth in 4 years that he worked in that administration. So why would I invite that? Now, I would invite somebody who maybe had a different point of view about immigration policy, who maybe was in favor of a strict immigration policy. And this is where we as academics have to distinguish between the demagogues and the provocateurs and the people who actually have ideas that we should listen to, whether we agree with the ideas or not. And there was a time where you could actually have ideas across the spectrum and have a good, robust debate of what is a sensible border policy. And you can't have that debate today because everything becomes inflamed. And if you say, well, I don't want that person because that person does not bring truth or efficacy to learning, then suddenly you're canceling. You know, and you're unable to get at the actual instructional value of having any speaker at all.
Well, I'm glad you point that out because that's what I think, you know, the taking advantage of the ability of an academic institution such as yours or any of the places I've been to make a decision about who to invite to campus. And usually if we're an educational institution, as you said, let's bring somebody to campus. It may not be in line with what people here might think, but the fact is that we're going to have this discussion. Mm-hmm. Making that decision is not the same decision as when somebody says, will you invite provocateur X to campus, right, Pat? And you say, well, I don't really think I will. Oh, so you're going to cancel the right, aren't you, President McGuire? Way to go. You're not going to allow this bomb thrower to come in and upset. No, okay, right. We want, though, to have healthy discussions. And I think, how do we get back? Maybe, because I don't want to give ground on the fact of what you were saying is that because the censorship by the authoritarian right is not cancel culture. And so I want to make sure that we call that out constantly. And also, I want to also give you thanks as a leader, a president of a higher education institute, to step up and point this out and to have the courage to say, we in academia need to be calling this out in a way that first says fascism, authoritarianism, no, you're not going to have that. And that's not us canceling. However, we do need to be a little bit more able to be offended in the academy, because being offended sometimes might actually lead us to go, oh my goodness, I never thought of it that way.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you can't protect students from things that will hurt their feelings, from statements that will hurt their feelings or make them feel angry or make them feel unloved at times, you know, as harsh as that may sound. So, you know, we can get into issues. I mean, racial issues are clearly one of the white hot centers of this. How do you have a discussion about racial equity and justice that everyone feels comfortable at? Well, frankly, you can't. Most of those discussions are terribly uncomfortable, and somebody is going to walk away mad. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have the discussion. Of course you should have the discussion. My institution, Trinity in Washington, went from being predominantly white, Catholic, traditional residential liberal arts. Today, we're a predominantly Black and Hispanic serving institution, serving very low income students in Washington. We had to talk about race all the time in order to get to where we are, and social class too. And believe me, those were not easy discussions. And even today, they're still not easy discussions. And being a Catholic institution, there's another layer in there about what you're allowed to discuss as a religiously affiliated institution. And I took the position early on, there will be no censorship here. And I think presidents need to be clear that there will be no censorship, but there also will not be a kind of both sides-ism where you wind up inviting people who have absolutely no learning content to what they have to say. They are just bomb throwers. And whether they're left or right, you know, if somebody is not credible as a teacher, and I mean teacher in the broadest possible sense, then I don't want to take up our time on campus to hear from them.
Well, and that's just to put that out there like that. I love that to say it. It's like, you know, we have you as a leader in higher education have a responsibility to continue to push the boundaries of learning and to possibly make people uncomfortable, but also be a leader to say, I'm not going to provide a platform from somebody on the extreme left. I'm not going to provide a platform for somebody on the extreme right, just so they can come in here and try to actually get more Twitter followers after they've, you know, been run out. All those reasons that they do this. It's crazy. It's Busted Pencils. It's Fully Leaded Education Talk. It is President Patricia McGuire, Trinity Washington University. We are talking about cancel culture. Pat, can I get you for one more segment?
Oh, sure. Thanks.
Okay. Well, when we get back then, we will also take any phone calls that are there. BustedPencils.com.
Teaching and learning in a post-COVID world. Critical race theory. Howard Zinn. Truth. Banned? Yeah. There's a whole lot of crazy going on in today's classrooms. Where do you go for sanity? Maybe not here, but Busted Pencils Radio is here to soothe your anxiety. Now back to Tim, Johnny, and Busted Pencils Radio.
Oh, it is back, and it's Fully Leaded Education Talk. Busted Pencils, Educated Educators Talking Education. Our guest tonight, the president of Trinity Washington University, Pat McGuire. Pat, we've been talking about cancel culture and how to cancel culture. And we've got a caller on the phone. Evan, who we got there?
We've got Tony from Madison joining us.
All right. Tony from Madison, what is going on, my friend?
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I listened to your show, and now I'm not sure. Are you guys being serious, or are you just saying things to, like, rile up the crowd or give ratings or whatever you're trying to do? Because you can't think the country's in better shape now than it was 2 years ago. That'd be impossible.
Inflation. What, well, hold on. Give me a minute to think. Actually, I don't need that long.
Okay,
I'm not sure the country's in any worse shape than it is. If you're trying to say because President Biden is in office and not President Trump, I'm not sure that either one of those people have any real bearing on the issues that President McGuire and I are talking about at the moment. So if I'm rallying you up, Tony, it might be that
you're not really paying attention.
What we're talking about here, which we would love to have you join our conversation, is the fact that there are some things such as the past, which we call history, the things you learn, the truth, and that when there are certain legislators, whether they be Republican, Democrat, authoritarian, whatever you want, when they start to say that those things are illegal for academics like Pat and I to discuss on college campuses, to discuss in second grade classrooms, if slavery is offensive to a second grader, then that's the conversation we're having, Tony. So, I mean, if you're supportive of censoring the truth, let us know.
No, you're censoring the truth. You're censoring The issue is teaching 5, 6, and 7 year olds about transgenderism. Now, if you think it's all right for guys to dress as women and men to have sex with men and to steal
it's not about history. It's not about slavery. We've got to go right to the instant. Oh my goodness. It's a transgender issue. And we're going to be indoctrinating 5, 6, and 7 year olds. Tony, we're talking about the fact that there are issues of truth here that are being legislated out of the curriculum. And I would love one day for somebody like you and people who are out there, spend some more time just listening for a moment and stop getting so offended. So yes, Evan, let's please cancel Tony at this point, because yeah, we're not going to give him the mic, and
well,
I'll participate in
cancel.
We talked
about this last week, right?
I know. It's we talked about it's like, against. Okay, it's Pat, I want to get back to Pat, though. Pat, there you go. Pat, you brought him on. Yeah. I just want to read, though, Pat, before, you know, and this is from Pat's piece. Quote, "It's time for higher education. Are you listening, brother and sister university presidents, to stand up for the values of free speech and expression that are the bedrock of our democracy? Academic freedom itself, the freedom of faculty to teach and research as they see fit, is in the gravest danger we've seen in decades. Let's show our students exactly what it means to stand up and be counted for what matters the most to our society, our freedom to teach, to learn, to think, to write, to live free from fear of government repression," end quote. And Tony. Pat.
Well, I meant every word that I said. And if we don't get serious about standing up for the right of the academy to be free in thought, in speech, in teaching, in books, in what we have in our libraries, then we will lose this republic. It is the greatest danger, not just to higher education, but to the United States of America, from our internal sense of repression of thought and speech and expression. And this fascist movement right now, and it is a fascist, authoritarian fascist movement to repress learning, which should be free. Now, if people don't like what's being taught, then fine. You are free to present a different point of view. That's the freedom that we have. Mm-hmm. You are free, and there's a role for families and parents. There's a role for churches. There's a role for teachers. Let the debate be robust, but don't repress what needs to be taught.
So maybe I repressed Tony then, or did I?
No. Tony was off point entirely. And as a teacher, both you and I would say, Tony, go to the corner until right. you listen to our discussion.
Well, and if he wants to have, like you said, if you want to have this discussion, I mean, you and I want to have this discussion, but I'm not going to be drawn in, as you just said, as we talked about in the beginning of the show, a provocateur type of person who comes on to go, oh, so you're fine with teaching five-year-olds about sex, right? Uh-huh. You know, right into it. And it's like, no, we're talking about having a legitimate discussion around issues. We are glad to have you participate. If you don't agree with us, we would like for you to disagree with us. But mm-hmm. you don't now get to tell us that we're either censoring you and or for some reason, this is the other part, because we think that somebody who thinks that 7, 8, 9-year-olds might benefit from some form of a comprehensive sex education curriculum, because the research is pretty clear on that, that as educators who have studied the outcomes, the research on teaching and learning about, my goodness, sexuality and or gender, mm-hmm. that the research is pretty clear that we should be doing it at an early age. Okay, Tony, what Pat and I didn't say is we should be teaching kids to engage in sexual promiscuity.
Right. But, you know, Tim, there's another piece of this that I just want to mention, which sure. is typical of what we just heard from our caller, Tony. We were talking about racism. We were right. talking about slavery and history. We were talking about the 1619 Project. And one of the things that has happened in this era, and it was Trumpism writ large, in my view, and we've got to name it for what it is. There's an immediate effort to jump into any discussion and to twist what's being said mm-hmm. and to introduce other topics that are totally off point in order to deflect the listener or the viewer or the reader. And so, for example, to say that we were, you know, somehow poisoning children's minds with mm-hmm. transgender theory, we weren't discussing transgender theory. Right. We're discussing slavery.
Yeah,
and slavery as a topic,
yeah.
and the history of this country's terrible sins in race relations starting in 1619 need to be taught. There's nothing wrong with teaching that. And don't bastardize this, excuse my French, by coming in and saying that somehow it's related to teaching children perverse notions of sexuality, which it's, you know, it has nothing to do with that. But this is the tactic that's used.
Oh, and thank you for bringing it up, because I was, I don't know, I was skating around that issue because, I mean, that was the old duck and dodge move on Tony. Yeah. It's like, hey, you guys are talking about this, which really means you're talking about this that I want to talk about. Right. And then I'm going to, So, but Tony, hey, we would love for you to call us one day and talk about the reality of whether we should be teaching truthful facts to kids. And I don't know, maybe we want to even get into an age-appropriate discussion about the graphicness of certain facts of history and when they are appropriate or not to teach, because those are conversations that are worth having. However, to say that we're going to outright ban, and I love the language, which is of course Alec and or Coke language, divisive concepts.
Yeah,
I'm like, my goodness, divisive. And I love the other measure. If you teach a divisive concept and if a kid gets uncomfortable, my goodness, have you ever talked about the most ambiguous language ever? That, you know, it's like, I'm uncomfortable, and I think I'm uncomfortable because I learned the truth. My goodness, Pat, why did you expose me to that? I'm so upset with you. No, you know, we're not going to do that. But Pat, I want to, you know, as we're coming up here on and the end of the show for our time with the guest, I really want to bring back, though, the appreciation of a leader like you in higher education to bring this to the discussion point, because it really is frightening sometimes to listen, hear and see what seems to be almost like it's the chilling effect on leaders and on educators who, and I think are probably rightfully frightened, but, and then their self-censorship or being quiet or being afraid to be called divisive. But you kind of are saying, you know what though, we have to do that. That's our job as educators.
It is our job. And I will say, and I've said this in other contexts, you know, you asked me if people got mad at me for what I wrote, and they didn't, because they've heard me say this before. Too many college presidents are too much in love with the idea that their job is to raise money and to keep their donors happy, or, you know, to keep their state legislatures happy. I understand the public college presidents are in a more difficult position than those of us in private education. But our job, number one, is teaching. And our job, number one, related to that, is the health and durability of the academy, which depends on academic freedom. I don't care if it's $10 million or $100 million. If you trade away the ability of the academy to operate freely, to think freely, and if you trade away the ability of our faculty to be able to teach in freedom, then you have nothing left. There is no institution worth receiving a gift of any size if you cannot preserve the values of the academy. And we are the counterweight to government, is the other piece of this. It's up to the academy to speak out against the government. Who else will speak out if the universities don't? There's no one else speaking out. I mean, the press tries to. The press is compromised these days, too, in many ways, because of the way people are buying up newspapers, radio stations, Elon Musk buying Twitter. What's that about? You know, the end of free Twitter. So it's up to us in the academy to take a stand in favor of freedom. Intellectual academic freedom.
Well, and as you said, I mean, that's really, you know, when we're talking about learning, if truth is not, if truth is, quote, outlawed, and or even the idea that the truth might be something we want to avoid, we can't really have learning, as you point that out. Yep. So let's talk about that. Evan, we got another caller on the line. Did Tony call back?
No. Everyone gets one shot. You get one bite at the apple on Devil Radio. No, we've got Alan from DeForest.
Okay. Alan, what's happening?
First of all, a couple of things. First of all, I had to laugh when you asked if Tony called back. I had to laugh at that one, okay? That was funny. Okay, now, first of all, I want to say I've had some really, really good teachers in my life. Some that taught me jobs like mechanical work and stuff like that. Ones that taught me, got me interested in reading and in science. I'm one of the lucky ones, okay? But now, what I wanted to comment on was maybe part of the reason why they are trying to control what you teach in history is because we are doomed to repeat history if we don't remember it. Well, if you don't teach it, then they won't remember, and you might be able to sucker them into doing something stupid like they used to do. Hmm. That's all I got to say on that.
Alan, I think that's profound. Pat, what do you think?
Well, I think if you don't know history, you may repeat the sins of the past. I totally agree with that, which is why we need to know about history so we don't make the same mistakes over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, history is one of those topics. It's interesting because it's like, well, that I don't know if we can, you know, back to the old Jack Nicholson movie, well, you can't handle the truth. And, well, mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I'm absolutely positive we can't handle the lie. Give me a shot at the truth, though, because when we engage in education, when we engage in teaching, when we engage in learning, searching for that truth is mm-hmm. what we're doing. And so it might be uncomfortable sometimes to find the truth, Pat, right? I mean, if we find the truth and that truth is somehow counterbalanced to what we thought, my goodness, that might make me uncomfortable, might make me sleepless a few nights. But then I wake up and I've learned and I'm now free. So free education, the freedom to learn, and that's the way you pose this. I've heard other people talk about, you know, if you have the right, a human right to learning, then you have to have that human then has to have the right to the access to freedom and free thought.
That's right. That's right. And we educators are responsible for giving our students the ability to think freely, to think critically, to know facts that are facts as distinguished from opinion. That's what we do as teachers, as educators. When people began to realize, for example, let's take a well-known story, that Thomas Jefferson was a slave owner, that blew people's minds because for centuries, we learned about Thomas Jefferson as the great author of the Declaration of Independence. Nobody thought of him and Sally Hemings, for example. Right. Now, some people may mind that history, but that's historical fact. And the story of the Founding Fathers, which is 1619, changed the whole understanding of American history in a way that's truthful. It is not made up. It is important to understand because it informs race relations today in this country that still are unresolved.
You know, what you said, though, too, with Thomas Jefferson, right, and, you know, who was the writer of the Declaration, just to be clear, too, and I know this is what you meant, and he still is the writer of that Declaration of Independence, even when we found out this other stuff that, my goodness, actually historians did know, but for some reason when I went to school, they weren't allowed to teach us that. But now that we know this, guess what? Thomas Jefferson still is the author of the Declaration of Independence. He's now, you know, a flawed human individual with problems that we can talk about and look at and discuss and try to, you know, wrestle with. How can somebody write about freedom and own people at the same time? How, you know, and the fact is that discussion, to be able to engage in that, is really what's at risk, is having that type of a deep discussion about two truths that seem to contradict each other, but are existing at the exact same time. Evan, I know we have another caller. Do I need to wait till the other side?
That's up to you, my friend. How are you feeling? Do you want to take a caller quick?
No, let's wait for the end here. I'm gonna let our guests.
All right, Mark, sit tight.
Okay. Our guest tonight, President Patricia McGuire, Trinity Washington University. Pat, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Thanks for having me on, Tim. It's been great to be with you. Thank you.
Yep, and we will definitely see you on another Zoom call. Thanks, Pat.
Good.
Busted
okay.
Pencils, fully leaded. Caller, when you get back, you're on Busted Pencils right after the break.
A cost to be alarmed. We are not the names that we've been given. We speak a language you don't know. We are the nowhere generation. Oh, oh, oh.
Hey, this is Tim from Rise Against here on Busted Pencils Radio.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky. Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one. And a blue one and a yellow one. They're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the
people in the house. To let it go to that part, Evan. Come on, my goodness, love it. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Great guests last three quarters of the show. Patricia McGuire, president of Trinity Washington University. We have a caller. We got about a minute.
Yes, we go got ahead. Mark from the SAC. You got about a minute.
All right, Mark, what's happening?
Well, this thing with both mathematics, I couldn't help but think of this Ursula K. Le Guin short story called The Masters, where a man lives in this community where he's becoming initiated into the guild, but all they use is the Roman numerals, and they're dependent on tables to decide, you know, what X plus X or, you know, X plus BX is equal to, and he is introduced to this older man who has the Arabic numerals, you know, the numerals that we use for multiplication and all that, you know, the ease that using that, but it's rejected by the community that they live that as black magic. And I'm simplifying it a great deal, but it's a fascinating short story talk, you know, that how there's people that do not like knowledge at all. I mean, that they don't like, you know, that, there's a whole other tangent I could have gone down with Thomas Jefferson and James Madison and James Madison's careful notes on the Constitutional Convention, where there's people there actually condemning slavery in what we would consider modern terms, mm-hmm. and some of the founders' inability to make that leap, even though they believed in liberty and freedom and were uncomfortable with slavery. But they just couldn't. A lot of them just couldn't bring themselves to recognize people of a different color as equal.
Which is
the same thing that the Muslims were doing apparently in North Africa. They said, "Well, we good Muslims can't be doing this. We rely on these white Christian slaves to do the work out in the hot fields because we couldn't do it."
Well, I mean, you know, and what we're talking about, Tom, here is this ability to engage deeply in these conversations. And we say sometimes whether they're contradictions, paradoxes, whatever they are, they're really important. And so when we allow the government, and I think that's the other part to be, and Tom, thanks for the call. When we allow
the government, yes.
Which understand that's what's happening here when we say this, when we allow the government to make rules about what can and cannot be taught, what we're talking about here is government censorship, and that's fascism. So when there are laws against teaching, we've got a serious problem. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. We loved having you tonight. We loved our guest, President Patricia McGuire. More Busted Pencils next week. See you Tuesday.
Want more Busted Pencils? Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Busted Pencils or log on to BustedPencils.com for blogs, podcasts, and more. Join us again next Tuesday for Busted Pencils on Devil Radio 92.7.
Busted Pencils Radio. Please stop bothering me and just ask my mom already.
We are Busted Pencils!